We're talking about making a living as a musician. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Streaming services are set to infuse billions of dollars into the music business, and musicians are once again hoping to get their fair share. Independent artists are really taking the recorded music industry by storm, and that's according to recent reporting by Rolling Stone. It's estimated that last year, self-releasing artists generated $643 million worldwide. So with that as a backdrop, let's zoom in on Wisconsin, where musicians are meeting this week about how to make a living through their craft. Are you a professional musician here in the state? Is it a hobby or your full-time career? What instrument do you play? Where do you perform? And how often are you on the road? Join in with your story at 800-642-1234. Bacall Bailey, who uses the stage name DJ Payne One, is a Madison-based hip-hop artist and record producer. Bacall, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
And we have Marla Frank here as well. She is a CPA and she's Chief Financial Officer for Frank Productions. That's a Madison-based concert promoter. Marla, welcome to you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, let's start with you. It seems easier than ever for artists to produce music from their home, from their bedroom, release it to the world through the internet. What do musicians need to know about setting up their business to make the most of it?
Well, I think you hit on it previously. The most important thing for any musician to understand is it a hobby or is it a business? And if it is a business, if you have income and if you have expenses that you want to deduct against that income, it's important to set up a business, some type of business format, and play by the rules, because there are very well-defined rules associated with being a business.
What seems to be the trickiest part of the business for young new musicians to understand?
Basically, the management of the money. If you want to be successful, you have to manage your money, and you cannot manage what you can't measure. So it's the measurement of that money via accounting records or whatever format to make sure that you know how to manage your money.
What challenges do you see when you help people deal with it at Frank Productions and in your job?
At Frank Productions, my job is not really dealing with artists. I deal with artists in a side project called Yellow Silo Business Management. And working with the musician clients that I work with through Yellow Silo, the biggest challenge is for musicians to understand the scope of their business and how important it is to work with a professional to account for and keep track of their money.
Bacall, in your early years getting off the ground, what challenges did you see in getting your business started?
I think for me, it started, with time management, even before the money management, because I wasn't generating any income. And so imposing a schedule onto myself the same way that there's a schedule in place at a traditional job. You know, people tend to ask musicians, do you have a real job? And that mentality is really damaging for us because we start to believe that music isn't a real job. It's not a legitimate way to generate income for ourselves. And therefore, we don't treat it as such in the sense of creating structure, creating a schedule for ourselves, researching, understanding the business, learning about how to manage our finances, learning about all the various laws that govern our world. And so once I learned that and once I started to impose structure onto myself, that's when I think I made the step from hobbyist to professional, at least at the very beginning stages.
Yeah, but how did you impose that structure? Because, your opportunities and gigs can come and go. They can be at different hours. There can be the flux of it. Like, you get a bunch of work all at once, and then you go through a dry spell. How do you bring structure to that?
I use the term structure loosely, but essentially, you still have to, I still have to wake up every day and there are tasks, daily tasks, that I need to perform in order to keep my business running. For me, and it's a matter of figuring out what you need as an artist and as a business owner, because you're both at the same time. For me, it was social media management. For me, it was understanding and learning about marketing. And then, of course, there are all of the creative elements. So making sure that I'm creating, making sure that I'm networking, making sure that I'm communicating with potential collaborators and potential customers, making sure that my brand identity is strong. Prior to having all of those ducks in a row, it's an absolute mess. And so not having a structured brand just creates unstructured behavior. And I had to really work hard, you know, because creatives were notorious for...
Oh, you're not keeping track of receipts, right?
Yeah, that's an entirely different conversation. I finally had to get a CPA. I was trying to do it myself, and I didn't know what I was doing at first, but I didn't know what I was doing. And so it wasn't until I hired the CPA that I learned all that I was doing wrong. So I'm happy I did that.
Marla, does that sound a little bit familiar with your clients?
That sounds very familiar. I think a really important thing to understand is the tax laws are like a high-stakes football game. There's a very specific playbook, and you have to play by that book to be successful.
We're talking with Pakal Bailey, who uses the stage name DJ Payne One. He's a Madison-based hip-hop artist and record producer. Marla Frank is a CPA and chief financial officer for Frank Productions, a Madison-based concert promoter. Do you work in the music business here in Wisconsin? What's your job, and why did you enter the industry? Are you a professional musician? Is it a hobby or your full-time career? And what instruments do you play? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Marla, why is it important for musicians to set up a business structure around themselves? And as Pakal is saying, to give them self-structure. Are there legal issues that artists can run into without that structure?
Very much so. There are legal issues in terms of liability to other people. And also, probably the most important thing is the management of the income and the deductible expenses. One of my favorite sayings is, everyone can be rich. And it's a very, very simple process. You have to manage your money, and you have to spend less than you make. And that's what the financial management is all about, not necessarily to become rich, but to make sure that you have that pool of income, the resources that you need to be able to expand your business.
How difficult are those tax returns to file if you're an independent artist or a traveling musician?
Traveling musicians are probably the most complicated. There are two different formats. You can be a sole proprietor, where all of your income comes to you personally, and those tax returns are a little less complicated. But most musicians, most bands are partnerships, and those are very complicated returns and really do require professional.
Pakal, how did you get started in music?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I was a bored teenager who just wanted to demystify the process, and slowly but surely, I guess I kind of figured it out. As a professional, is that maybe
Either way, you were a bored teenager. Yeah. That had led you down a road.
It led me down a lot of roads. it wasn't until about 2008 when it became real to me, the possibility of being a career musician. We're not really encouraged to be career artists. You know, it's just something that we do as an outlet when we're frustrated with our legitimate profession, right? So I gave myself a year after I finished my undergraduate degree just to explore whether or not music was a viable career option for me. And somehow within that first 6 month period, I was on a number one album. So that was a sign that I shouldn't just abandon it. And that was only the beginning.
And may I say, this is 2008 about your giving years? Okay, this is the middle of the Great Recession here. I mean, this is a tough time.
Ironically, an album called The Recession, titled The Recession, was my break into the music industry.
Huh. Wow. Who are some of the artists you've worked with that our listeners might know?
Oh my gosh, it's a long list. You heard that Mavis Staples and Chuck D songs. I've done a lot of work with Chuck D and Public Enemy, which is my favorite hip hop group of all time. So that's an amazing nexus. And, you know, 50 Cent, MC Light.
How do you
Ludacris.
How do you network in order to get these contracts with these musicians and help produce and produce their work?
Every story is vastly different from the other. My very first big song, which was in 2008, which is the reason I'm here right now, was sent to an engineer in Atlanta via a manager in Toronto. And that scenario never played out again.
We're talking about how to make a living as a musician. We're looking at all aspects of the industry and where to find good paying gigs to how to pay for taxes in a freelance driven industry. Do you work in the music business? What's your job and why do you go down this career path? We're at 800-642-1234. Concert promoter Marla Frank stays with us, as does hip hop artist Pakal Bailey. And we'll get back to this conversation in a minute here on the Ideas Network.
Don't change your mind, babe. You've got your trigger pulled and you'll break my heart. So if you give a damn.
Half the industry going bankrupt. You see them smiling in the club with they drinks up. Don't let that television fool you. Off camera, they sweating and stressing. My young students, let me school you. Them diamonds ain't worth half what you bought them for. Soon all that Gucci don't fit and now you out of dough. One day your pockets all right and now they all wrong. You gon' do when it's all gone. Talking about the root of all.
We are talking about how to make a living as a musician. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Spotify's founder confirmed recently that nearly 40,000 tracks are uploaded to the platform every day, and that works out to about one upload every 2 seconds. So what does that mean for our homegrown musicians here in Wisconsin? Can you do this full time? Have you ever recorded a song or album before? What was that like? Join in at 800-642-1234. Pakal Bailey is a hip-hop artist and record producer. Marla Frank is a concert promoter and accountant, and they stay with us. Let's go to the phones now with Roger joining us from Burlington. Hi, Roger.
Good morning. I am an owner-operator of a four-piece band that plays regionally in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa. And I started it from scratch. Really, I was a musician, but I knew nothing about the business end of it and hiring people and dealing with equipment issues and things like that. And other person mentioned taxes. I knew nothing about that. So my comment is basically that it seems to me that 85% of the music business is about the white-collar business side of it, and maybe 15% is actually your craft. It's not a bridge that everyone can jump.
Marla, what do you think of that ratio, 85%?
I can't argue with it, but I can say that keeping track of the business side of it is a huge proportion of being a musician.
And Pakal, Roger was saying there that there's the equipment to think about. There is also the hiring. What do we know about equipment?
I'm sure we know a lot. I think that's, especially for somebody like me who's a music producer, that can be problematic for us because we start focusing more on investing in as much equipment as possible. And that goes back to spending more than you make. You know, what do you actually need is a question that you should ask yourself. For me, it's all about incremental purchases, using what I have, and if I hit some kind of technological ceiling, then I make an informed choice as to whether or not I'm going to invest in an additional piece of equipment. For the most part, it's just a psychological thing. We want to have stuff, and we might not need all that stuff.
And when you talk equipment, what are some of your most important and prized pieces of equipment that you need to do your work?
My most prized piece of equipment is probably ASR-10 because it's this classic digital sampling workstation. But other than, you know, the nostalgia associated with that piece of gear, people like me are successful with a laptop and a MIDI controller.
Hmm. Let's take another call now. Let's go to Josh joining us from Maguanago. Hi, Josh.
Good morning.
What's on your mind about this?
I guess a lot, since I'm a live sound engineer, lighting engineer, video engineer in the state of Wisconsin and beyond, for in the mix productions. And I've been doing it solid since 2001. I would say a couple of big things are: make sure you network with other companies that are like-minded. You know, if you got to cover a show or fill in the date for them so they can do the same for you sometimes. You definitely want to have an accountant because you can write everything off that you spend. You definitely want to make sure you're good with the tax man. And have fun.
Well, have fun. Josh, thank you so much for ending on that note. Because Marla, I mean, you're in the weeds on a lot of the numbers, but there is fun in this. Even in your, you know, even as a CPA, you see the fun in the creative.
There truly is. And contrary to popular belief, accountants can be creative. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of ways to be creative within the tax code. But the most important thing to understand is know what the rules are, and then you can be creative and use those rules to your advantage.
Marla, what are some factors that might help artists decide whether it's the right time for touring or it's the right time for the next step, like bigger concerts?
I think a lot of it is driven by money because so much of it is self-financed now. There aren't other forms like record companies or anyone to finance that for artists, so they have to do it themselves. And it boils down to whether or not they can afford it.
Bacall, what do you think about musicians playing for free or releasing their music for free just to get exposure? Does it pay off in the end?
Yeah, I think that's the new normal. And it's just about adding value to yourself as a musician, to the experience of seeing you perform live, and creating physical merchandise too that complements that experience to the point where you're actually incentivizing a fan to purchase that equipment. I think nowadays, because music is now free for the most part, or at least it's perceived as free, there's nothing free about Spotify per se. It's all monetized. Someone's making money off of it. But for the musicians involved in that equation, the onus is on us to create a much more enticing experience for the fan. That's how we stand out. It's not just music alone. And I don't think it ever was. I think if you're a fan of music, if you were a fan of a act from the 60s, you were a fan of them as people. You were a fan of their energy and their dynamic. But now more than ever, that's a little more overt.
Oh, so like your brand and social media really comes into play here.
Yeah, and social media these days, number one, the beautiful thing about most of it is it's free. And two, you can interact directly with people. In the 60s, you couldn't live stream with the Beatles.
Mm.
But in 2019, the top-selling artist is going live, and you can talk with them, you can interact, you feel like you're brought into their experience, and that makes you a bigger fan.
You're part of a nonprofit called the Urban Community Arts Network, and it's teaching Madison kids about hip-hop and helping them create performances. How did you get involved in this group?
That was... It started with survival, just because we had very few opportunities as hip-hop musicians in Madison. And it just grew. It developed into youth service. It developed into partnerships with public schools within the Madison Metropolitan School District. It developed into professional development opportunities, such as our involvement in Between the Waves this weekend.
So what can the Urban Community Arts Network do to help kids overcome their challenges?
we use hip hop as pedagogical framework. So we get into the classrooms, we work with the teachers, we work within the curricula that we're presented, and we use hip hop, which is, you know, the number one music, but then it's also a culture too. And we give cultural context, we give a broad overview. So it's not just, you know, this token gesture of trying to be cool for the kids. It's more authentic. And then we use hip hop to allow them to engage with the subject area. So in the same way that someone might write a sonnet about climate change, for example, is one of the units that we've been working on with Black Hawk Middle School. They end up writing, recording, and performing an original song.
Well, Marla, as we start to have to close here, what resources are available to new or young musicians to help them understand the business and get into it?
There are a lot of online resources, and as previous callers suggested, networking. Learn from those people that have already been down this road, have been through it, and can share their success stories and their failures.
Well, Pakal and Marla, thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pakal Bailey is a hip-hop artist who uses the stage name DJ Payne One, and Marla Frank is a CPA and the chief financial officer for Frank Productions, a Madison-based concert promoter. And we should also mention that Frank Productions is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. Just ahead, two librarians are with us to share some of their favorite books for summer reading, kids and adults, books for readers of all ages. Stay with us after that, after the news, for that summer reading suggestions. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. This is The Ideas Network.
Don't change your mind, babe. You've got your trigger bold and you break my heart. So if you